which is biotechnology. And I will talk you, biotechnology is an enormous field of technology, so there are many different aspects. And I will talk about the possibility of generating blood vessels, artificial cartilage, bone cells, and tumor cells, and something else. Now, what is biotechnology? Generally speaking, is a technology by which a biological system, maybe cells, maybe hormones, maybe whatever which is biologic, can be used to produce organs or substances of pharmacological, medical, and commercial relevance. If you look at the companies existing worldwide, there are hundreds of biotech companies today. There are many also in China, many in Europe and the United States, which are trying as a company to make money. Of course, they want to sell something which is good for our health, but the objective is to make a commerce. And now the question is, can we use the space environment for biotechnology? And here I think I have mixed feelings. So examples of biotechnology are, for instance, yeast to produce wine, beer, and bread. So yesterday I was in a museum in Xi'an, and I saw they have wine vessels which were made 5,000 years ago. So there was already biotechnology processes which are as old as the Homo sapiens, more or less. And beer and bread, you know what that is. These are all biotechnology processes. Then if you go to a more complicated, a sophisticated technology, we have genetic engineered bacteria to produce drugs. So the gene of some bacteria can be modified in order to force the bacteria to produce something important. And this is a well-developed technology. Going to immunology field, monoclonal antibody technology. I didn't have the time in this course to discuss the monoclonal technology. People got Nobel Prize about 30 years ago for this technology. It's possible today to produce huge amount of antibodies against substances which you need. To look if you have a sickness, diagnostic, there are many tests based on monoclonal antibody. In science, you can use a lot of monoclonal antibodies and so on. So this is a well-established biotechnology. Now, the production of artificial organs sounds a little bit fantascience, a little bit fiction, and I think there are many trials worldwide to produce artificial organs. There are congresses. Every couple of months there is a big meeting about that, but I think we are far away from the production of artificial organs like liver, heart, whatever. We are still obliged to use donors who are donating after that kidneys, lungs, and so on. An important aspect, which I also will discuss, is testing of drugs and the technology of food supplements. So there are, if you go to a drugstore, you will find a lot of products which are good for your health and are used as food supplements. And I will discuss a project which we are working now based on a food supplement which should help, especially if you do sport, to be more effective. This is a dream. It's a dream, the dream of producing artificial organs. This is just an example. Let's assume that somebody gets the mandibula destroyed by an accident or an illness. How can we reconstitute again this piece of bone which has been destroyed? And one possibility, still a theory, but people are working to this possibility, is first to take bone cells from the patient, is autologous bone cells. Autologous mean from the same person which will get the implant at the end, and make a mold. A mold, this is a plastic mold of the mandibula, and then we take a so-called scaffold. This is a neutral plastic material on which cells can grow very well. We let the few bone cells taken from the patient multiply in vitro, and then we put everything together. We fix the scaffold to the mold of the mandibula, we put the cells on, and then we implant this in the body of the patient, and after a certain time, days or months, there will be an artificial mandibula, an artificial organ which has been synthesized. This mold can be removed and the mandibula implanted in the patient. As you see, this is a very complicated, but people, this is the future. This maybe is the future. Maybe will not work, but this is the future. These are ideas which are on work today in biotechnology. Another aspect is the production of veins. You know, our veins becoming older or because of an accident may be destroyed or damaged, and there are projects by which there is an attempt to produce artificial vessels. This, I think, is easier to do than what I've discussed before. About 20 years ago, there was an article, I think, in Nature, which is a renowned magazine, showing a kind of artificial ear. So this is biological material which has been taken from a sheep and has been implanted on the back of a mouse. And there was a mold, and the cells of the sheep grew on the back of the mice, and at the end we have this kind of is a quite rudimental organ. So this has been done. Another, maybe more spectacular thing is, you see this kind of box. These are cells from a cow, which were grown somewhere in vitro. And you see, you can really, if you have a mold, if you have something on which you can put your cells and let them grow, you can produce something which one day could be an implant. So this is a technology which is done today in the laboratory. What is there, and you can imagine the kind of commerce, also the money value which is behind, not only the health value, but also the money value. A very important application is the production of artificial cartilage. Now, this is a problem of many people. Older people get small injuries of the cartilage, especially in the knee. And these small injuries, which are about a few millimeter big, are very painful. And also many sportsmen, a footballer, which are stressed and they have a very strong fighting with each other, get very easily injuries of the cartilage. And what is done today, and there are many hospitals are doing this, is to take a small biopsy, a small piece of cartilage from the patient, and let the cartilage grow in vitro on a scaffold, on this substratum, and when the cartilage is big enough, then the surgeon will make a cut at the place of the injury and substitute the damaged cartilage with the new prepared cartilage in vitro. Now, doctors told me that this is a technology which works not completely satisfactory, so many patients which go to this treatment, after a few months or after 1 or 2 years, have to replace the artificial cartilage because it doesn't work that well. So this is earthbound technology. It has not yet to do with space. For culturing cells in space, we need, before I'm going to the biology, we need bioreactor technology. Bioreactors are containers in which cells and tissue can be cultured for longer time and kept alive for longer time. And in our work in space, we have prepared, we have adopted a lot of technological tools in order to make a space bioreactor. The idea was to install, for instance, on board of the International Space Station, bioreactor technology in order to look if it's possible to take profit of weightlessness in biotechnology. And I think this was the first bioreactor which was ever put in space, and is based on the principle of the osmotic pump. So before showing you the bioreactor, I want to show you the osmotic pump, which is produced by an American company and is commercially available in order to have drugs injected in animals. The osmotic pump has different size, but actually is about a few centimeters. And the principle is we have here, this here is a rubber noogie, like the pipette. You can press it, and in this rubber container there is a drug, whatever you want to inject. In the case of our bioreactor, was the fresh medium to keep the cells alive. And outside of this rubber membrane, you have a substance which have an osmotic, can cause osmotic pressure. So here we have a semi-permeable membrane. This is a membrane which lets the water going on in. And here you have a material which is an osmotic agent. And if you remember from the school, what the osmosis is the transfer of liquid from one compartment to the other due to a difference of salt concentration. So here we have a high concentration of a certain agent which generates an osmotic pressure. So if you put this pump in water, you just dip it in water, the osmotic agent is calling water from the outside. Water is coming in and is generating a pressure of this rubber membrane. The rubber membrane shrinks and the medium goes out. So a French lady came one day to our laboratory and said, I have an idea. We can propose the use of the osmotic pump in order to build up small bioreactors which are almost totally automatic. They don't need power. They don't need human work. They work automatically. And I think the idea was very good, and so we got funding to make this mini bioreactor, which consists of the container and has the osmotic pump, which can be activated by turning this knob. And there is a system of tubes which bring fresh medium to a small chamber. This is a small chamber in which we have the cells. And here we have a control chamber without fresh medium. And this system was flown 2 or 3 times in space. It gave us good results. This was a prototype of a possible space bioreactor. Here is how it looks. Here are the two chambers. There is some plexiglass here by which the astronaut could look, control if there were air bubbles, and control the color of the solution, and so on. It was put in this typical standard container of the BioReg facility, and here how it looks, and was flown with a Danish experiment, a RAPSID protoplast on a satellite, and was flown on a space lab mission with Syrian hamster kidney cells, which are known to produce an important substance to avoid blood coagulation. And then a few years later, we started a new, much more sophisticated project in which we made a real space bioreactor, which was flown on three different shuttle missions. Unfortunately, the last shuttle mission was STS-107, which ended catastrophically, in which we lost the crew and, of course, also our experiment. Here you see the bioreactor. There is a port to make injection, and there are here chambers. The culture chamber is about 3 milliliters of liquid. Let's look more in detail. So we have the chamber here. These are kind of lungs, a membrane by which there is exchange of gas with the outside in order to get oxygen inside. We have a stirrer, and we have a pH control, very clever system to control the pH, because in a culture system, usually the solution, the medium becomes acidic, and the cell will die. And we have a fresh medium, which was pumped by a micro pump in the chamber, and the old medium was coming out and stored in another chamber and was useful to make some analysis. And we have then the control electronics and sensor for pH and oxygen content of the culture chamber. So I think this was quite a big achievement of microtechnology. And I think what clever was the control of the pH, as I told you before. There were two electrodes, and the two electrodes, one positive and one negative, caused the hydrolysis decomposition of water with production of hydrogen, very small quantity of hydrogen, and a basic OH minus, which was used to control the acidity which was produced by the cells. The cells are respiring and produce CO2, which is in principle an acid. So we had to control the acidity with this base. And this was really a mini sensor system which was installed in the bioreactor. And here you see the bioreactor disassembled. This is the culture chamber. Here we have the piezo micropump. Here we have the membranes by which the cells could exchange oxygen with the outside. There is a port to take samples out of it, and here there is a small glass window by which one can control what is inside. And then we have the electrodes, and it worked quite well. And the following of this project is the so-called Sacestre hardware, which is scheduled to fly on the International Space Station. We don't know yet exactly when, but in the near future. And this is a much more sophisticated system. I just give you a cartoon. We have a culture chamber, which is larger than the previous bioreactor. We have a containment for fresh and used medium. We have a pump which recycles the medium. The fresh is reducing, and the used is increasing without changing too much the volume. We have a sampling chamber in which we can take out samples of the bioreactor and put them in this testing chamber in which some biological processes can be done, fixation, mark with labels, and so on. And so this permits, of course, much more sophisticated experiment than previously. And there are other projects for bioreactor on the International Space Station. Of course, all these kind of projects are quite expensive, so it's not so easy to get funded for this kind of project. So this is the technology, the bioreactor technology, in which we hope, or it's hoped, once to do biotechnology in space. Now, I will discuss a few examples in which microgravity may favor biotechnology and biomedical applications. And these are projects which we have carried out with other partners in the last 10 years.